you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
I'm Austin Cross. Join me for LAist's new live event series with the James Beard Foundation. We Are Where We Eat will go behind the scenes of LA restaurants. The kickoff event is May 22nd. Tickets at LAist.com/events.
Hello, LA. We're going back to the movies. Kind of. We're back with another episode of Revival House, but we're breaking format and talking about a historic 100-year-old movie theater that sadly closed its doors late last month, the Highland Theater in Highland Park. This three-screen theater was one of the very few movie theaters in Northeast LA, on a street that's been gentrifying for years. Tickets used to be $10 or less, and you could regularly catch a movie for only $6 on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Many Angelenos are mourning the loss, because it wasn't just a movie theater, it was pretty much a cultural hub. We wanted to talk about this, the theater, and its history, so we had to bring on How to LA producer and movie lover Victoria Alejandro. She's been reporting out How to LA's Revival House series, our love letter to vintage and independent movie theaters in LA. We'll talk with her after the break. Stay with us.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Start your Saturday with something that will grow your kiddos' brains and get their creative juices flowing. Join us at LAist for a morning of multilingual story times, interactive performances, art making, and lots of kid fun. Bring the whole fam and join us for a super fun Saturday at LAist in Pasadena on June 1st. Tickets at LAist.com/events. See you there.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
We're back with How to LA, and I've got Victoria in studio to talk about the history and the impact of the Highland Theater and Highland Park. Hey, Victoria.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here.
So first of all, what is your relationship to the Highland, and what are some of your memories?
So I hadn't heard about this theater until I got a haircut down the street. And I walked past it and I said, that looks so cute. A three-screen theater. I saw that it was first-run movies, and that felt really rare to me to see a theater that was this old, this vintage, still doing new movies. I took my partner there on a date the next weekend, and we caught two movies with like some street food tacos in between. It was so good.
That's such an LA movie date.
It was so fun.
I love that.
Perfect evening.
So what's the deal with this theater, and what do we know about why it closed?
Yeah, so talk about this theater closing kind of goes back to 2022. There was a story in Eastsider LA about the theater going up for sale. The 99-year lease was about to be up last February. That's 2023. But it stayed open. The theater went to new ownership. Cyrus Etemad, who bought Highland Park Bowl a few years ago, bought the theater. And he's been involved in other real estate along the Figueroa Corridor in Highland Park. He let the theater's operator stay there rent-free for another year, but now that year is up. The news of the closure was still really sudden, and it caught employees and the neighborhood by surprise.
Can you tell us more about why it was such a big deal that this theater closed?
Well, this is one of the only movie theaters in Northeast LA. We know that Vidiot's is open over in Eagle Rock, and there are some theaters in Pasadena, but now there are no more neighborhood spots to catch a movie close to Highland Park. When it finally closed, the theater's operator, whose family has owned it since 1975, told the LA Times that it was losing money every week and just blamed the, quote, industry. Like many theaters, it was impacted by pandemic closures in 2020 and the strikes this past summer. We tried to reach out to ask more questions, but didn't hear back. What we do know is that running a theater that shows first-run movies is expensive. We learned that last week with the Gardena Cinema. A first-run movie theater like the Highland Theater is likely just losing money week after week because distributors of new releases take such a huge chunk of the revenue. And like we heard in our video story, an empty theater sitting on a major street is a safety hazard and an eyesore. There's already rust and holes in the bottom of the marquee, and the Highland has only been closed for a few weeks.
So let's talk about the community. Let's talk about Highland Park. What did it mean to that area?
Yeah, as the only movie theater open in the area, it held a lot of memories. I spoke with Denise Hernandez, whose father runs Antigua Bread, a restaurant and cafe down the street from the theater.
This is actually my father's restaurant. So I grew up going to that movie theater, you know. I remember many times we would come here and eat before the movies and then walk down the street and, like, just me and my little brother watching so many movies, you know. It's like, it's a core memory for us, I feel like. And I didn't even know it was leaving. That's actually so sad to hear.
And I also spoke with Marita de la Torre. She's an actress and one of the founders of Highland Park Independent Film Festival.
I knew it was the right time, the right place. Highland Park was the right place, and it was the right time to start this film festival that is now beloved by this community.
They just celebrated 10 years of that festival, and their home for film screenings was the Highland Theater.
The theater had a lot to do with it. There was this grand old theater that was so captivating to me right from the start. I mean, I love, you know, give me a grand dame of a theater, and I'm there.
Yeah, let's talk more about this film festival.
Yeah, their ethos is really about uplifting local filmmakers and bringing creatives of Highland Park and Northeast LA together. Marita says that she and the other founders of the festival, which was last held in October of 2023, were inspired by just how many below the line and behind the scenes folks in the film industry live in Highland Park.
We saw the community really respond to it, and then from then on, we just grew into the programming that it is now and into the nonprofit that it's become, which has given us a bigger platform to really help and have the true three-pronged mission that we do to bring film to everyone in the community.
Their tagline is Film for the People, and the three prongs of the mission that she's talking about are a film mentorship program in schools around the city, a platform for screening work by independent filmmakers, and networking and community building. And they felt really supported by the community.
We were supported only by the awesome kick-ass bars of the neighborhood of old school Highland Park. And, you know, then the ones that, you know, were opening their doors at the time as well said, like, this is worthy, you know. So we're very proud of that. We were able to survive because the community said, this is a good thing. This is something we want here. This is something we want to keep here.
They've been sponsored by bars like The Offbeat, The York, and The Greyhound, which was right next to the theater. Marita actually told me that the team behind the film festival has been making a documentary about the theater since 2015.
As a film festival, we wanted so much to pay tribute to the theater, our home, you know. And this is back in 2015 when we started this. We decided to actually make a documentary, which is still in the works in the sense that we completed the first phase of it, which was, hey, this is the Highland Theater and this is what the history of it has been. We're hoping that it remains a theater and that perhaps it is brought back to its grand glory.
So Marita says she doesn't know where the fest will be moving yet, but the organizers will be hosting free outdoor screenings in Tierra de la Culebra Park this summer. With the Highland Theater closing, there aren't really a lot of other places to catch a movie in that neighborhood.
Tell us about the history of this theater.
Yeah, so we can take it back to March 5th, 1925.
Let's do it.
And the thing you need to know is that the Highland Theater is like a proper big movie palace. It might not look it, but it's 1,400 seats. That is huge. That's bigger than the Chinese in Hollywood. It's bigger than the Egyptian. It opened in the 20s with a film called Lady of the Night, starring silent film star Norma Shearer. And the theater was designed by the same architect who did the Vista in Los Feliz and the Rialto in South Pasadena. This Figueroa corridor used to be a booming theater district, but as historian and film professor Ross Melnick says,
today, the theater is all that's left of this once booming suburban theater district. By the 1950s, demographic shifts, the rise of television, and other factors began impacting local theaters. So Highland Park's Franklin Theater closed in 52, the Park Theater closed in 63, and the Highland itself struggled into the mid-1970s. And when you have almost 1,400 seats, a scattered audience feels even more brutal.
So like many theaters at the time, in the 70s, there's a new owner that starts screening adult films as a way to stay afloat and bring in more money. But it got picketed so hard that the Highland did close for almost a year.
Picketers carried signs which read, "Decent movies for decent people." Shame, shame. What a disgrace. Get this filth out of our face.
Okay, we have to make a side note here that I feel like every theater you've talked to us about, they have shown porn at the theater at some point in time in the 1970s.
Listen, Brian, it was the time. Theaters were struggling and those movies were coming out like nobody's business.
They needed the cha-ching.
Well, in 1975, the Akarakian family bought the theater, and a few years later, they turned it from a huge single-screen movie house to a triplex. So there's this vintage balcony space that's been shut off, and it's been operating as a three-screen theater that seats around 500 people total.
The balcony and the original ceiling, murals, and other elements are still there, if hidden and weathered by time, and could be part of a future restoration. In 1991, the Highland Theater was designated as a historic cultural monument by the Los Angeles Cultural Heritage Commission, protecting its exterior.
Dan Akarakian operated the theater until 2022, when Cyrus Edemod bought it. As I mentioned earlier, he owns a lot of property in Highland Park. According to the LA Times, he said his priority is to preserve the venue, and they're looking at cinema and live music uses, so people are hoping it won't be turned into a CVS or an Apple Store or a Chipotle.
So it sounds like there's still hope that the theater could be preserved or maybe even reopened?
Yeah, it's no secret that Highland Park has been gentrifying over the last decade, and there's worry that if it does come back as a theater, tickets won't be between $6 and $10 anymore. And as we've seen with other theaters, a pivot to a nonprofit repertory screening model like Vidiot's or celebrity filmmaker intervention like The Vista, they kind of seem to be the only way to keep theaters like this running as movie theaters. The Highland Theater is so clearly in a spot where a movie theater that's walkable from restaurants and bars and the bowling alley is primed to do really well and really help maintain the idea of a neighborhood night out that we've talked about with so many of these spaces. I'm really curious to see what happens, and I'm hoping it's more of a stay tuned than a goodbye.
Thanks, Victoria, for bringing us this story and honestly, this history of Los Angeles.
Yeah, thank you for chatting with me.
Thanks to Ross Melnick, Marita de la Torre, and Denise Hernandez.
And a shout out to theeastsiderla.com for their reporting on Highland Park and the Los Angeles Theaters blog. That site has so much information on old theaters in LA and has been so helpful to my research. You can find them at losangelestheaters.blogspot.com, and we'll have links for you in the show notes.
We hope you're loving the Revival House series reported by Victoria Alejandro. You can find more of her stories online at laist.com/howtoLA. And don't forget to subscribe to hear future episodes about our beloved movie theaters. Hasta luego, y'all. This episode was produced by Victoria Alejandro. The rest of the How to LA team is Monica Bushman, Ellen Jacoby, Megan Botel, and Erica Washington. Engineering support on this series is provided by Hasmik Pagosian. Our executive producer is Megan Larson, and I'm your host, Brian De Los Santos. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes LA a better place to live.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
As a farmer's son from a desert region in California, J.B. Hamby thinks a lot about water.
I spent a lot of time digging up history, particularly about water, which is the origins of the Imperial Valley.
How this 28-year-old became the youngest lead negotiator on the Colorado River ever, and how he could shape the most consequential negotiations to date. Listen to Imperfect Paradise, the Gen Z water dealmaker, wherever you get podcasts.